Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Dev. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Ganesh Housing Corporation Limited earnings call to discuss the Q2 FY25 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rajendra Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Neeraj Kalavatia, Vice President Finance, and Mr. B. Ravi, Corporate and Financial Advisor. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request Mr. B. Ravi to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good noon, ladies and gentlemen on the call. It's a pleasure to welcome you all once again to the earnings call of Ganesh Housing, both for Q2 FY25 and H1 FY25. I'm sure you would have had a chance to go through the presentation, which was uploaded a couple of days back. I'm excited to share that this first half of FY25 has been one of the best periods in terms of performance for Ganesh Housing. We have been consistently building on the strong momentum of the past quarters, and based on that, H125 has surpassed all previous quarters and H1s, delivering the best robust results that reflect the strength of our strategy and execution. India's real estate sector, to talk about it in the beginning, saw a robust performance in Q3 2024, that is, this calendar, with institutional investments totaling to around $1.1 billion, which is a 45% YOY. This brought the total investment into the real estate sector for the first 9 months of this calendar 2024 to about $4.7 billion, which is almost the entire last year's performance, last year's investments. Growth was driven by private equity partnerships, particularly in premium residential projects. Investor confidence remains high due to the expectations of interest rate cuts, which, though, of course, has just been put on hold a couple of days back, but there is an expectation the next 2 quarters, and also stable macroeconomic conditions and increased demand for high-end properties. In Ahmedabad, too, we have witnessed this kind of growth. The residential sales grew by about 11% YOY, with around 4,600 units sold. The new project launches did fall, but the demand for 3BHK, which is a little higher than the mid-segment, actually remained very strong, and that accounted for 56% of the market, while homes priced between 4,000-6,000 per sq ft saw the highest demand. Notably, premium housing units above 1 crore rupees saw a 41% increase, reflecting the growing interest in larger luxury spaces. Even on the commercial side, we saw very good momentum. In fact, recently, there was a deal in Ahmedabad, which was one of the highest ever in terms of the land transaction per term, in terms of the price per square meter. A land was sold by Ahmedabad Municipal Corporation around the same place where we are trying to build up our new next commercial venture at a staggering 3.07 lakhs per square meter, which is the highest ever achieved. In line with market momentum, Ganesh Housing is making notable contributions to the real estate sector's growth. We completed the Malabar Exotica project, as you know, well ahead of schedule, which resulted in substantial revenue recognition in Q4, but that continued to support the strong performance in H1 FY25 also. The process of executing sale deeds is currently underway and is expected to be completed this quarter, further strengthening the revenue visibility. The Malabar Retreat project, launched in Q4 of FY24, has received the expected strong response from the market. With 12% of the construction already completed, the project is doing very well in terms of booking. The pre-sale revenue is about 100 crores in that project as of now. Typically, demand for premium apartments increases once there is a sample house built and when the construction reaches for the first few floors when there is a visibility. Therefore, we do expect a significant rise in bookings during the second half of this financial year. Our commercial venture, the Million Minds SEZ project, is progressing well ahead of schedule, with phase one on track for completion. We have already initiated the marketing efforts targeting large IT companies, which began as planned. We should see some growth and some developments in the coming half year on that. The early response has been strong, and we are confident that this should be one of our most successful projects. In fact, the kind of development which is coming up, both in terms of the square feet and the type, will be better than what we had actually earlier planned. The One Saltej commercial project is currently in the final stages of approvals, with plans expected to be submitted to authorities soon. Spanning a saleable area of 1.8 million square feet, this project is set to generate estimated revenues of about 2,100 crores, and we expect the construction to start in the next 3 to 5 months. We are constantly searching for new development opportunities in and around the areas of our land bank and could come up with more news in the coming months. Overall, Ganesh Housing is poised to capitalize on a wide range of growth opportunities in Ahmedabad's real estate market. The ongoing projects such as Million Minds, Malabar Retreat, the Godavari Township, and the One Saltej Commercial Venture are all strategically aligned with the city's growing demand for both residential and commercial spaces. Each project is advancing at a steady pace, with several already seeing strong market response, particularly in the premium segment. Now for the financial highlights for Q2 and H1 FY25. It's very heartening that in Q2 FY25, we have delivered a stellar performance with a revenue of 250 crores, which is a significant 52% year-on-year. Our EBITDA has reached 215 crores, representing a 76% growth year-on-year. With an outstanding EBITDA margin at 86%, up by 15.6 percentage points from the previous quarter. This highlights the company's ability to optimize costs and drive profitability. Our profit after tax saw an impressive rise to 159 crores, which is up 84% year-on-year. This resulted in a healthy PAT margin of 63.5%, up 11.1% year-on-year. Even in the first half year FY25, we have achieved total revenues of 470 crores, which is an 8% YOY. EBITDA stands at 371 crores, which is a 9% increase YOY. EBITDA margins are maintained at 78.8%. The PAT for the first half year reached 272 crores, which is a 10% YOY, further supported by strong margins and operational efficiency. Our PAT for 6 months is almost 60% of the PAT for the full year FY24, justifying our expected and projected growth in the bottom line by around 30% year-on-year. This exceptional performance across all key metrics demonstrates our capacity to maintain strong margins and growth momentum while efficiently managing operations and capital. Despite significant capital expenditure, as you can see all over, we have maintained very strong financial numbers in terms of cash flows. With zero debt, our cash balances, cash and bank balances as of 30th September 24 stands at around 250 crores, which was around 220 in FY24 March. And this is further going to be strengthened in the months to come. Looking ahead, our focus remains on delivering high-value developments with a clear roadmap for the next 5 to 7 years that ensures that we are well prepared to tap into any future marketing dynamics. By leveraging our land bank and focusing on mid to high-end residential and commercial segments, we are confident that these will create substantial value for all the stakeholders while enhancing Ahmedabad's real estate landscape. With this, I would request the floor to be open for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rishit Shah from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a great set of results again. I had three questions really. So first question was actually around the competition and the land prices. So you highlighted that there was a record-breaking deal that happened in this quarter in Rajpat area. So that basically, and that is more so as per reports for the commercial development. And secondly, we recently also saw a press release from one of the larger pan-India competitors that they are adding land parcels in Ahmedabad. So just wanted to understand how this record-breaking land prices as well as new entrants coming into the market will affect the land prices as well as the competition and the overall landscape in Ahmedabad.
Would you want to ask all the three questions and we can take them together, or you want one by one?
Yes. So yeah. So that was the first question. I'll ask all the three questions together. So the second part was on the cost that we see. So again, impacting from the same increase in launches or increase in construction activity, do we foresee the labor prices being impacted? And thirdly, and the question that I ask usually is the split between the revenue in terms of the land sale and project sales.
Sure.
Lastly, fourth question, one more question if I can add, regarding the Million Minds IT project, ITSZ project. So the marketing efforts that are ongoing, can you elaborate a little bit on it? Maybe how is it, I mean, placed? Are we looking for an outright sale right now or people are leasing on the property? That's it. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. I'll take right from the beginning and then all the four questions. The competition, the line price, it's a very important question. But you know that this kind of a competition or the increase in the land prices and more people being interested in the land in Ahmedabad actually will lead to the land prices increase, which actually affects positively for Ganesh Housing. Why I'm saying that is that we have had land banks at various areas in Ahmedabad at most strategic places, which are of very historical cost, very low cost historically. And therefore, any such kind of a increase in price, which a competitor will have because they're buying the land now, will drive up their prices, ultimate sale prices of the projects completed, which will have a project the perfect impact on Ganesh Housing, because their land price being the same, we will still be, even on the final prices, still be much cheaper, if at all, if we choose to be, or we'll earn much more than a competitor can give in terms of the ultimate sale prices. So therefore, these things do help Ganesh Housing because the large land bank they already have switched on. That's one. Even for the new ones, you know, wherever any such kind of land deals do happen, any new projects, prices will be determined as per the demand, and we will also, even if we purchase on that, it will be driven through the similar kind of a demand and supply situation. There, the positive for Ganesh is that we are in the brand of recall absolutely on the top in Ahmedabad. Therefore, our kind of prices normally have always had a premium to the general prices which are available in the market. Also become the kind of a premium construction and the facilities that we have been given. So we do believe that with this kind of good development, I would call it, in Ahmedabad real estate sector, Ganesh Housing is quite well placed to capitalize on both their brand as well as their land bank. That's one. Yeah, you want Rajendra Bhai will add.
Apart from this, we can leverage our unutilized capacity. We can go for JVs and such partnerships for development. If Pan India players comes to Ahmedabad, meaning one can imagine what can happen to IRR of our project, because investment generally is made by some Pan India player. Whereas they will require a local support to secure approvals and carry on with construction.
On the cost side, yes, they can be the labor costs and all have increased, as you know, both the input costs had increased a year and a half back, and they are only following the normal inflation. We don't see too much of upheavals in the labor costs at this point in time. The split between land and projects is 90-10 in favor of land, that is. And as you know, we are following the completion method, and therefore we are only able to book the projects once they are completed, the new ones which are already started. The Million Minds marketing efforts, the way the whole thing has been growing, and people have actually on their own, there are various interested parties. I'm unable to take the name at this point in time, at least in December, by which time we'll be actually finalizing everything, with just a couple of months from now. We have seen extremely good interest in the entire, the building. There are about 12 floors which are supposed to be let out or even sold. And we have seen an interest in all the 12 floors as we stand at this point in time. And we will see whether we need to continue to lease the way we have modeled ourselves in the earlier stages, or we need to sell it off. That will depend on some economics that will work out. I'm unable to say whether it will only follow the sale model or only follow the lease model at this point in time. But those aspects would be addressed in the coming 1 or 2 months maximum. I hope I have answered all your 4 questions. Yeah, you want to add something? Yeah, please.
See, on availability of labor and increase in labor cost, we have actually deployed a technology which is we are going for precast, meaning precast slabs, vertical and horizontal, which will require, meaning our dependence on labor is reduced drastically because of that.
Right, got it, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed reply. Just one follow-up, if I may. So in terms of, I understand that the market will be more structured as and when the Pan India players come into the market, and we may also explore some joint development opportunities. But in terms of supply, will it potentially, do you see the supply being potentially impacted or exceeding the demand in any case in the near term?
Exactly. Well, see, normally the kind of interest which happens from by various players is only when they see a huge demand coming up in the month years to come. And therefore, the very fact that such kind of prices are come there and people are getting interested necessarily means that there are good growth opportunities and good demand coming up in the years to come. And therefore, I don't think that will have any such kind of a oversupply issue, if that's your question. On the other hand, I would like to say that there could be a supply in certain pockets where, whenever there is an oversupply, then yes, the demand drops, there could be an oversupply. But not in the areas where we are operating, whether it is the kind of a commercial building that we are setting it up in the SEZ or the kind of the premium housing that we are setting up. In all these areas, we don't see any such kind of an oversupply situation coming up in the near future.
Very clear, sir. Thank you so much for the detailed reply.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Isha Shah from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. First of all, congratulations on excellent numbers.
Thank you.
Basically have two questions. As for Malabar Retreat, I see that the construction completion is 12% this quarter, which is just up by 2% from the past quarter. So is there a reason for the lag, and what is the expected timeline for the project? And the second question is for the Ahmedabad market. We've seen a good price increase, I think, as we've already said, in land, but as well as the overall realization level. Do we see the same kind of price hikes in the coming years, or do we see them stabilizing now going forward?
See, in terms of Malabar Retreat, you see the last quarter has been largely dominated because of the rainy season. And largely we were, the most of the construction activity was happening for the basement. And you are well aware that the basement activity remained highly impacted because of the, whenever there is a heavy rainfall. So most of the period, you see the last quarter has been rainfall in Ahmedabad. And this year it has been comparatively the best, one of the best years for the rainfall in Ahmedabad. Largely it does not happen during even during the rainy season. So because of that, the construction activity has been impacted to a certain extent. But our schedule for the project is in terms of timeline, which we have scheduled on somewhere near around March 27th.
Okay.
Disha, what happens is that initial, this was, as you know, launched in March, and almost towards the end of March. The last quarter was April, May, June, where the maximum effort and maximum time goes in doing the foundation, the basement and all that. Once that is done, when it comes to the ground level, you know, putting up the next few floors and all is not actually a very difficult task, which is what, when we talk to you again for December, you will see a substantial progress in that.
Okay, okay.
And there was substantial progress in terms of cost being spent in that project. However, construction milestone is one with which we measure the progress of project, and that's why you will see it is 2%.
And you're talking about the price hike and all that in the future to come. I think we have projected our future one at the current prices, but you're right. Whenever these kind of changes do happen, the prices are driven by, slightly increases do happen. There may not be a sudden spike and all, unless of course it's a very good project like what we are doing with SEZ. That kind of prices may be not comparable with the rest of the people in the vicinity, you know. But that's one exception. But generally, this price hikes and all that happens periodically, and especially when for good new premium projects, the prices can be quite different from the general projects.
Just to add to what Raviji just said, I was talking to some experts in real estate. According to them, prices per square feet in Ahmedabad is one of the most affordable if you compare any tier 2 city or some metro cities.
Exactly.
So there is a meaning, there is still a lot of scope for price to increase without affecting affordability.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is, on your Million Minds project, you're targeting rental of almost 70 rupees. Is there a discussion that you're seeing on those rentals with your prospective tenants, and any timeline for pre-leasing there?
Yeah, the timeline, I'll tell you, we shall be talking about it maybe in the next 2-3 months itself. There'll be a lot of development in this, which we can very concretely tell you when we talk about Q3 results. So because there's a lot of work going on in that direction, both on the prices that you talk about, 70 per rupees per lease for the rental charges, as well as any outright sale. A lot of traction is there in that, I would call it, at this point in time. So interest being there, we are quite sure that the pre-leasing, what you're saying, because the project is likely to be completed in early first quarter FY26, which is just about 5 months from now, 5 to 6 months. So we do see that the pre-lease activities would happen in the next 3 months or maybe 5 months at the maximum, because we'll have to be giving them out for fit-outs and all that in the first quarter of FY26, right? So we do believe that this whatever development we are seeing on ground right now will be leading to good traction in the coming months.
And coming back to 70 rupees per square feet, what you said, we believe this is maintainable and sustainable rent, and we are kind of stand by this.
These are in fact the current prevailing rental rate for a regular commercial property. So we are not charging any premium for the kind of the property we are making right now in terms of our provisioning.
Okay. And similarly, on the construction cost side, the implied construction cost seems to be less than 3,500 rupees a square feet. What is driving this low cost? I mean, market seems to be at a much higher rate, at least in other cities.
Yeah, see, it is a basic cost that we had been talking about. It might change if there is a premium that's added to the building. So, frankly, market to market, these kind of differences can be there. This is what we had estimated based on a particular plan about a year and a half back. We are looking at the entire aspect of how the whole building is coming up, we have added actually much more in terms of the square feet to this as we see, as well as the premiumness to that. So we will come back to you on this actual cost and all that maybe in the next 6 months. But we do believe that the basic cost could be well around this time, at this cost, what you mentioned. That's not very different from what we normally have for such kind of projects here.
Understood. That's different. Secondly, you also talked about potentially buying more land, even though you have 500 acres. How do you think about your land and business development strategy here?
Well, it is the raw material. Land has to be is there in order to be considering development projects right in the future. So that being our raw material, we would want to continue to acquire, because then the future projects should not get affected. We cannot wait for, normally we have been developing on our old land, right? But we're not just doing immediate buying and selling. That's the reason why we try to accumulate. More importantly, the land buying has to happen in the areas where we believe the future city development happens and where there will be a growth potential. As just to tell you in 30 seconds, the growth in Ahmedabad has been shifting westwards and northwards, as we always keep saying. So earlier, everything was happening in the walled city, then transferred to this part of it is called the Ashram Road, or that is this western part of the river. Then it shifted to CG Road, then it shifted to SG Highway, then it's gone to the Ring Road, and is now growing beyond. So keeping in view the kind of development which happens in the city, the promoters being the forefront of trying to take advantage of this kind of development, we'll always keep looking at the land which is available in and around the areas. So that will be a continuous exercise which will happen. Obviously, it will be keeping in view the prices versus the potential increases which will happen, plus the potential development that can happen in the areas.
And of the 500 acres, how much land would you have on the northern and the western part?
At this point in time, almost 100%. There's hardly on the other side. So these are all the development which is happening now, both on the, when I say west, it's not exactly north, it's west, northwest. That is that Million Mines area. You know? That's where all the, even Adani's township is there, a little close by, and various other, it's a new CBD. So that's where this entire 65 acres is coming up. And the west part, most part of it is where the Godavi land is there. There are a lot of other traction happening, as we told in the last quarter results also. There's a lot of development happening in that west part of it with a lot of land acquisition for future growth. So we do have land at the places where it is just right for us to be at this point in time, having acquired it 10, 15 years back.
Understood. And lastly, if I may, any challenges you're facing on approvals front or availability of contractors, etc.?
That's one good, very good point of Ahmedabad, frankly, and Gujarat, and that is these approvals and, you know, both on the contractor side, there's nothing. We have been doing it seamlessly for so many years, year on year, day on day, and we don't see any such problems. And even on the approval side, probably one of the most progressive states, if you can call, in terms of understanding the growth and giving approvals, is Gujarat.
I have worked in Mumbai for almost like 25 years. My experience of working in Gujarat and Mumbai, if I were to mention in two lines, here we know in Ahmedabad that these are the kind of things which will not just not happen in government. So you better make plan which is approvable by government, and then you will not have any problem. There are a lot of flexibilities and loopholes, or so to say, workarounds which are available in Mumbai, which is not the case in Mumbai.
Understood. That's very, very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Satyam Badera from Profimat Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank
you. I have a question on IT SEZ. Can you please provide an update on the market response for SEZ phase 1 so far? And along with this, how far we are in progress in construction process?
The progress is
Have we initiated a discussion with Tishman regarding the marketing strategies of this project? Additionally, can you outline any other phase of the IT SEZ that we are planning in current financial year?
To answer the last question, if you have finished, you have any more questions? I'll take them all.
No, I have one more question. What is the approximate inventory we are currently holding on the ongoing project? A total inventory of all the projects, and can you even share of the Malabar retreat?
Okay, we'll take that later. Let me finish all the other questions. Now, as of today, the progress, what you asked about SEZ is very well, almost like a year ahead of schedule, if you can say so. And therefore, we are expected to complete that and hand it over for fit outs and all that in Q1 FY26. That means in April to June of next year, that is April, May, June. 25. Now, this is where we see, which is almost like in 10, 12 months or more, well ahead of schedule. So it is progressing well. At this point in time, the roof and various activities are going on full strength. The discussion with Tishman in terms of the lease, yes, it's an ongoing process. We have had at least two rounds, and there is a full-fledged, the discussion happening even as we speak around the same days. And therefore, that's why we said, I just told a couple of minutes back that we see a very good traction, very good interest in this kind of a development. I dare say, and I'm telling it this as a completely outsider, that this will become one of the top buildings of India, leave alone Ahmedabad. That's the way it is going. And therefore, we very strongly believe that the kind of interest which has been generated now, and which will probably keep getting generated, will not just completely lease this out in the shortest period of time, but also enthuse us to go towards the second phase, which we have not yet started. We were planning to start the second phase. We are not going to do that in this financial year, because you asked that question. It's not going to be in FY25. But looking at this action, we may say that we may have to constantly plan. As projected, we said, no, we will be doing that in our earlier projection year goal. I think even that should start on schedule, even maybe well ahead of schedule, looking to the kind of traction that we are seeing right now. So phase two might well begin soon. We don't know. Let's finish this. In the next 3 to 4 months, we should see a lot of traction in this. Once we do that, we will talk about phase two.
Coming to inventory, what we have in hand, we have roughly about 30,000 square feet of office space which is available for sale in Maple Tree and Maple Trade Center project, and there are few residential units which are available, like 6 units which are available in Malabar Exotica project which is yet to be sold. However, meaning everything else is booked, but there are some customers who have not come forward for doing their final agreements, which is about 10 to 12 of them. Once they do final agreement with us, even that inventory will go up. Other than that, there is hardly any inventory which is there of any completed projects.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sita Lodha from Swan Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the great quarter.
Thank you.
Sita, you will have to be a little louder, please.
Okay. Is it better now?
Yeah, little better.
So, as per the previous participant's question, I understand that 90% of the sales were land sales. So, is it possible to share the area of the land which was sold in this quarter?
Yeah, it's about 23 acres.
Okay. And in the investor presentation, in slide number 20, I see that there is a target mentioned that the company wants to develop 33 million square feet in the next few years, having a total pre-sales value of 17,500 crores.
Correct.
And then if I come to slide number 8, I see that the ongoing and planned projects worth the same quantum. So I have the confusion here because I understand that the commercial and the township projects are on lease basis. So does this pre-sales value, is it just residential or does it include the commercial and how does it
work? Hey, for the ease of the calculation, we have considered the capitalized value of the lease asset also on a standard capex rate, which will give us an overall potential capital value of the total development, which will take place in around next 7 to 10 years.
Okay. So, is it possible to share the rate, capitalization rate that we take?
Because that is around 7%.
7 to 8%.
Okay. And in this 33 million square feet, how much is residential, how much is commercial, and how much is the township?
See, out of the 30 million, there are around 15.3 million is the SEZ, both processing and non-processing area, where largely you have a processing and non-processing in the ratio of 50:50. Then we have around 15.3 million square feet of development, which has been targeted for the township, which is largely the residential development. Then there is a 1.8 million of the development is targeted for that one surface project, which will be a pure commercial project.
Okay, so this means so the township is the residential one.
Yes, yes, largely residential.
So, in meaning overall, if one wants to see, about 25% of the development will be commercial, and 75% will be resi.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Richa.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats for a very good set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to ask regarding guidance. In the last call, we talked about 30 to 35% of growth in bottom line. So given 1H is strong, how do we still stick to it or how should we look at second half on that front, sir?
I think looking to the performance, 60% of last year is already achieved right now. And second quarter has generally been a little better than first quarter, even last year if you have seen. So I think we are well on course to achieve that 30% growth year on year.
Got it, sir. And sir, you said 90% of sales is land sales and 23 acres. So how much can we expect in second half, and how much is the total land bank that we will be selling in, say, next 1 to 2 years?
Oh, that has not been, what will be the amount of sale in the next 1 to 2 years? That is not really quantifiable right now, because we see an opportunity whether it is better to sell or whether to hold. That's what drives it. And therefore, it's difficult to say that at this point in time. But the next half year, I think the pattern of the land sale versus project sale could be the same as the first half year.
Got it, sir. And sir, in the PPT, we were saying this 9 month land prices have stopped going up in Ahmedabad region. Is that right estimate? I think in the slide number 7, we talked about INR per square feet that kind of has stabilized in 9M24 versus CY23. So how should we look at in going forward?
That is actually not stabilized. If you see, you know, on an year-on-year, it is around somewhere around 8% of the growth in terms of the pricing. So the price as such is, you know, going upward year-on-year.
Got it. So, and we expect this trend to grow to continue on in this line?
The trend is showing that way only.
Trend is very strong.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congrats on an extremely good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I was going through your presentation and you have projected the sale value of around 17,500 crore cumulative till FY34 over the next 8 to 10 years. So I just wanted some clarification. Like this projected sale value is at the current rate of, you know, the land and the constructed flats, or have you factored in the increase in prices also over the years?
Current rate.
Okay, great. So, so then, you know, keeping in mind the future acquisition that is inevitable, so can the company grow at a CAGR of 24-25% over the next, almost 10 years?
So, Rajesh, one correction. All these 17,500 crores, what we are saying we will achieve, is going to happen on land which is already acquired and paid for.
Right.
So it is only question of whether there can be any increase in construction cost. Yes, there may be any increase in construction cost. Again, there will be matching increase in matching or higher increase in sale prices. We believe that we will be able to maintain this 25-30% growth year on year, which is sustainable.
For almost a decade, for almost 8 to 10 years. I mean, these numbers work out to almost that rate for 8 to 10 years, right?
Yes. See, the way the land prices are going, as we just discussed for the last 40 minutes, we do believe that our historical land prices would be able to, we will be able to sell it at increased rates as we go by. And therefore, sustaining this 20-25% CAGR looks to be definitely done. Now, this is where we see at this point in time, looking to all the parameters which are available for our consumption. And I'm sure nothing wrong is going to happen in the years to come when we are planning for 1 trillion economy and all that and a very stable government, both in the center and the state. So all this gives us the confidence that we can achieve that. And rest is, of course, leave it to the Almighty.
Yes, sir. So now, like, as investors, we have the visibility for the current year and we have the visibility for the long term, 8 to 10 years. But what I'm lacking is the visibility for FY26 in terms of your reported numbers, because of the way the accounting is done for your business, for your industry. Like, how much revenue do you think you can report next year? So this year will be a through, it is a done deal that you will be doing 30-35% growth. What about the next year in terms of reported numbers?
See, there are various projects which we have planned for the next year also. And that is including the kind of the Godavari Township project. Now, the revenues from that is such that it will be a completed project. So whatever we do in Godavari will actually go to the top line and bottom line in the same year as and when we start monetizing that land parcel. And therefore, that project will continue to add to the top line. So we believe that the kind of development which is happening in around the Godavari Township area, which will lead to good sales in township for the next year, which will ensure the kind of revenue which will happen. Now, this situation has been the same for the last couple of years, wherein we have maintained our revenue and profitability in spite of having a lesser project on hand. But the project of Godavari, which will be starting next year, is a pure project sales which will happen in FY26 itself. And that's the reason we believe that the projection that we are given can be maintained.
So even in FY26, you are saying that there will be a good growth over FY25 base in
yes.
terms of reported numbers?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's very helpful. And sir, just one request. If you can start publishing or even during the con call, if you can, you know, give out your booking numbers or collection numbers or the numbers which have not yet flown to your reported numbers.
In my speech, let me just, the one which we had given for retreat, we have this pre-sales of 100 crores, which I just mentioned. So, yes, we'll continue to give that kind of numbers quarter on quarter. Thank you for the suggestion.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rutul Shah from Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I was actually referring to your last quarter's presentation in which we have given the slide for the upcoming residential project and the commercial project. But we have discontinued that in the current quarter's presentation. So we just wanted to know that why we have followed this practice from current quarter. Is there any change
yeah.
that we are looking into?
No. See, look, what happened, we have been giving it all these while, right? I mean, it was so repeated and it was just increasing it. That's it. There's no particular reason. I think, you know, the better thing would be that once this quarter Q3 is also done, when we are planning for the next year, we'll bring that back in terms of the timelines and all that in the updated stuff. We just were waiting for, you know, the phase one to be getting over and all that. There's nothing in particular. I think we'll soon get it back in a quarter or two with an updated timelines and also price. Because when we see a good traction, we might have to revise that also. So we're just waiting for that.
Okay, got it. So second was one bookkeeping question. So currently in 6 months period, if we see our sales is around 450 crores and corresponding sales last year 6 months was around 435 crores. The trade receivables currently as on September are 300 crores, which in the last September were hardly 30 crores. So why is this huge bump in trade receivables as on September 24th?
The trade receivables follow the sales and some land, it is always a timing difference, you know, and on something, some land which might have been sold, let's say, early quarter of the quarter, the funds might have come in, and sometimes the sales happens towards a later part of the quarter, wherein the funds are yet to come in, only certain parts of the funds have come in. But overall, if you see that it is following the same pattern as it has been year to year also. So that is the only difference, I would say. There's nothing much to read into it.
Okay, got it. And sir, another question. So you just mentioned that this quarter we sold around 23 acres of land.
Yes.
And in another quarter, we have, conveyed that it is an ongoing process to sell and buy the land because it is a raw material for the business. So have we bought some land in this quarter? And if yes, how much acre it would be?
It is somewhere around 25 acres of land which has been bought during this quarter.
Got it. And so just one last question. This 23 acres that we have sold, it would be in the vicinity of the, township or in the vicinity of the township where it would be located broadly, if you can say?
You are asking the question, where are we buying it?
That's yeah, vicinity of township.
It is, you know, it's all places. Like vicinity of township, there could be some other development or some future development which are seeing, we'll be buying land around that areas. So this is not necessarily, we are not looking at only certain pockets of land. We are looking at land which is available for future development growth from a projection perspective. So we are not restrictive in that case. We are quite open. We keep scouting around. In fact,
and which area are we selling the 23 acres that we sold?
This is again largely the land parcel which we are not keeping it targeted for any potential development. These are also the land which are there in the western part, but not in our targeted development area.
Okay, okay, got it, sir. Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from my.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have one quick question to understand the consumer or the customer mix that we have. So how much percentage has been booked by the end user or first time buyers versus the investment purposes?
We have hardly any investors. In fact, majority of the booking, bulk of the booking is done by actual land users. The pace of determining this is kind of home loans, which are as a percentage of your total booking, which is very high in our case.
Okay. And what would be that percentage, if you could just mention?
So almost 90% of the our sale, they are backed by the home loan.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. This was helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yasmin Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask you, what's your current land bank and what amount or, you know, in terms of probably acres, you don't want to kind of explore the land bank in terms of development and which can be added to your sales of land in the coming years of the total land bank available?
See, the total land bank we have been holding and subsequently taken together is somewhere around 535 acres. And this keep on, I'm saying, adding and reduction depending on what is the business activity and the targeted sale and purchase happening. So as such, there is no fixed policy where we are saying that this is the land which will keep it permanently or which will keep it purely for selling purpose. It is largely how the development is happening all around the places, as well as how the government is responding on different areas, how they want the development to take place in those areas. Accordingly, we take those decisions.
And any plans to move out of Ahmedabad into any other city?
Well, at this point in time, no. There's not immediately. We will see if there is something which comes up. We are not averse to that, but we do believe that the opportunity which has been given in Ahmedabad is so good that we are not yet lured into any other city with similar kind of ROCEs.
Right, right. And within Ahmedabad, I don't think you all do any JDAs, right?
Not as of now, but we don't. Again, we are not averse of that. We are quite open to that also. But at this point in time, we don't have a JV project. It might come up.
Okay. And lastly, what was your? I think in the previous quarter's call, you had given some guidance in terms of top line and bottom line growth for the next 1 or 2 years. Can I have that number again, please?
See, those numbers we have already given in terms of 20-30% growth in the bottom line. The top line we say they might not be the surety in there, but bottom line we are pretty sure that we will be targeting those areas.
Right, okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Jain from RK Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, I just wanted to understand, like,
It could be an accounting question, and pardon my ignorance for this. So just wanted to understand how much time lag is there between your pre-sales numbers and the reported numbers? I mean, as per the accounting standards, what is the norm here? If you can just help me grasp
that. See, if you see Ind AS 115 talks about you can book the revenue only when the project is completed, you get the occupancy certificate as well as sale deed is happening. So, and generally if you take a timeline of 3 years period of time for a project to get completed, so your pre-sales will get converted into the reported number after that BU number. And largely it depends on how the sale deeds are happening, how the customers are responding. So over the next, after the BU certificate, you get 2 to 3 quarters where the entire revenue of the project gets booked into the books. So and this is what is happening in all last 3-4 projects, what we are experiencing.
Just to answer your question generally, meaning there could be time gap of about, average time gap of about 1 year to 1.5 years for pre-booking to get converted, reflect into revenue from project.
But your average projects will get completed in 3 years' time. So, I mean, for a particular project, it will get reflected in revenue numbers after 3 years, we are saying, for a particular project.
Unless we achieve the closure much faster, like what we did in Exotica, it was completed well ahead of schedule. So, if that happens, then the revenue comes in faster also. Because it all depends on the completion of the project.
In case of Exotica, the project get completed 1 year ahead of the schedule. So instead of 4th year, the revenue started recognizing in books in 3rd year. Same is with Malabar 3 also, the project get completed well ahead of the schedule. So accordingly, those revenue recognition get pre-code.
Okay. And you're saying as per the accounting norms, this will be recognized only on 100% completion, not even on certain milestones like 25% completion or...
No,
that practice is no longer now...
Not allowed.
Okay, fine. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Rutul Shah from Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, as you just mentioned that this quarter we have bought around 25 acres of land. So just, can you let us know what is the total buy value of this new land?
Sorry, could not get your question.
No, we are yet to ascertain. Right now we are not aware. 25 acres ka cost.
Okay. Yeah.
So we shall get that out the moment it's booked. So at this point in time, it's not ascertainable. Ascertainable is what Rajendra Bhai just said. But we'll get it out in the coming months.
Okay. No, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the last question for today. We have reached the end of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for the interest, continuous interest being shown in Ganesh Housing numbers. I think we have been delivering on all the promises made year on year and sometimes even better. We are hopeful that we will continue to do that in the times to come too and look forward to your interest being sustained just as our numbers have been sustained. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.